Hey, everyone. We're so glad you're here. I'm Alisa Monjadas. I'm a marketing leader and executive coach.
I'm Courtney Copeland, and I'm an accountability and wellness coach.
And I'm Dr. Mirari Simeon, an activator of talent, HR executive, author, and working mom.
If you're anything like the successful multicultural women we interview on the What Rules podcast, you've learned that you can't do it alone. And we teach women like yourself to outsmart the game to get ahead in your career.
We're really talking about those rules that we grew up with as women and the expectations that have been placed on us.
Our mission is to change the face of leadership at What Rules podcast. As you listen to our talented guests, take note and take action. Go ahead, go and break those rules. Courtney, I am so glad to be talking about harnessing feedback for growth because it is something that both you and I encounter all the time in just the field of our work, in the things that we do every day. And it's interesting because one of the data points that I continue to hear, and actually McKinsey and Company came out with this, and they said that feedback fuels thriving development and performance cultures. And who doesn't want a thriving development and performance culture? But yet, I know that you feel this way. We continue to get the feedback from people that they're not getting the feedback, or if they are, it's not feedback that they can relate to. Are you hearing the same thing I'm hearing?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, working in the coaching industry, we thrive in feedback. I feel like 80% of the conversations I have are feedback driven. And I guess it depends which side you're looking at it. Are you looking at this in terms of giving feedback to a colleague, or are you talking about giving feedback to a client or an employee or someone you're managing? So it depends in terms of like, how do you give it? How do you receive it? But very different for sure, depending on if you're giving it to a coworker or if you're giving it to someone you manage or a client, something like that.
Or if you're receiving it.
Or if you're receiving it. And I think, did you just ask why do people not give it?
Well, that's a great question, and I think we should absolutely get in it, because if you remember a while back when Nicole Todd, the VP of HR at Blackstone, did a podcast with us, when we interviewed her, she really told us and told our audience that we need to ask for feedback in the workplace because people may not typically offer it. Let's play the clip.
Feedback is one of the very main things that's keeping women from getting promoted, because people are afraid to give us feedback. And without that feedback, we can't do better, right? So like being able to get that feedback and know how to take the feedback, right, has helped tremendously. So I think that's super important for us to continue to give each other that hard feedback that we need to hear, because that's what we need in order to keep moving up.
So the question is, what do we do when we receive it, and what do we do when people are not giving it, but you do need it? Like you said, in your field, you thrive on that. But many times, people are not receiving it.
So, I mean, when people aren't receiving it, honestly, I think it has less to do with the person and more to do with the person who is intended to give it. I think that a lot of people expect, just because you're a leader, just because you're a manager, just because you're a VP, CEO, that you must know how to give effective feedback. And that's just not true. Just because you're in a position of power or you have a leadership title, it's a skill to learn how to deliver effective feedback. And so if someone doesn't know how to do that well, or they're fearful, shoot, if I say this, it's going to completely derail the conversation or possibly blow up the team, start a conflict. They're like, I would just rather not. I'll avoid it.
And we have the data to back that up. So you're not just hearing it because we know is the right thing to do. But according to a 2023 analysis that Textio did, I think of over 13,000 people or performance reviews, they found that white and Asian men received the highest quality feedback, and they would receive things like they're brilliant and genius. But when you look at the other side, women of all races, Black, Hispanic, Asian, you name it, they're not receiving actionable feedback. So in other words, women and people of color are significantly less likely to receive a type of feedback that can get them to grow in a specific area that would then enable them or prepare them to receive a promotion or even grow in the workplace.
100%. And I think what's interesting is throughout so many conversations we've had on this podcast about helping women of color develop in careers, I feel like almost everything we've ever talked about can kind of lead back to, hey, is someone having those conversations with you? Hey, is someone letting you know what you could do better? Or here's what you're actually doing great at. A lot of people, that's one thing I'll say. A lot of people think that feedback has to be centered around what are you doing wrong? Or here's what you need to do better. Or here's what's, you know, this isn't right. Feedback should be positive as well. Like there definitely needs to be a balance. And hearing both what you're doing well and what you need to work on, those are the things that will help all of us thrive.
I want to make sure that we answer this question specifically for our audience of multicultural women, because we heard the research, right? They're not getting actionable feedback. So how do they ask for feedback? How do you coach multicultural women, I guess, is my question, on how to ask for feedback?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've heard this before too, but I would really root it in like the I statements. I'm coming to you because I care to grow. I'm coming to you with this question because I can see that you're doing X, Y, and Z really well, and I would really love to perform in that way. Can you share what you think I could do to perform in a similar way? And also, I would say when asking, maybe give someone time to think through it rather than putting them on the spot. You know, lead into the conversation and say something like, hey, I've been really wanting to grow in X, Y, and Z areas, and I've been really curious to ask you your opinion. Let me know when you have time to sit down and have a 10-15 minute conversation. And just kind of disarm. That's what I would say. When you're asking for feedback, disarm the conversation, because it can be just as difficult for the person who's giving it as it may be for the person receiving it too.
No, and that's great advice. I agree. I think it's twofold. You got to be strategic about creating that safe space. Yes, leaders should always be creating the safe space, but here as a multicultural woman, you want to make sure that you also own creating that safe space for yourself. So everything that you said, Courtney, it's absolutely right, is make sure that it's a good time for the other person, right? That it's a time where you can sit down with them and hear their feedback. And it's not like, okay, I'm rushing to another meeting, let me give you feedback, right? So you want to make sure that you have that safe space. And something that you said that's critical, be ready for that feedback, because how you react to it, it's going to determine whether this person is going to want to give you feedback or not. Again,
I think if you're going to ask someone for feedback, be prepared to keep the conversation going, right? Yes. Because if someone's going to say, hey, I'm going to take the time to think through this very thoughtfully, deliver information that can help you grow, they'll actually really appreciate the follow-up, right? Hey, I implemented your feedback and these are the results that I got. Thank you. And you can see how it could grow into maybe even like a mentorship.
Absolutely. And I think that is the beauty of it, right? If you can form a relationship and really trust somebody to give you that feedback, I 100% agree with you. Hopefully, creating that relationship to the point where they become a mentor is priceless. to be able to have somebody mm-hmm. that can give you that type of feedback and you feel comfortable. I think it's also as important to understand and when the feedback that they're giving you, and you said this earlier, so let me step back a second. You said it's important to take the time, right, to just sit on that feedback. But I also think it's important to understand when the feedback is not actionable and how do you, I guess my question to you, and I'll think through this as well, my question to you is, what do you do or how do you ask or how do you move forward when somebody's giving you feedback and they're helping, but it's not actionable? Are you understanding what I'm like? I'm hoping I'm asking this question correctly. Yeah. Okay.
No. I totally understand what you're saying. It's like when someone gives you good advice, but you don't know how to implement it necessarily, or maybe even what they say is, it's more.
Let me give you an example, and how will you coach me?
Okay. Yeah. Go.
And I won't tell you how I handled it in the past. No. But I was working really hard on, I was working on a project and it's a change management project. There was many people involved. I was working late hours, weekends, and all of a sudden my leader is wanting to give me feedback. And basically, I don't know if that was feedback or yelling, but it was supposed to be feedback that I was not.
Oh, no.
That I was doing the wrong thing, that I was missing some big spots, and they were furious, and that I needed to go and rework what I'd done. The point that this leader was missing was that I had already talked to the other leaders about what they needed and wanted, and there was a difference. What this leader wanted was different than what the leaders wanted as part of the change management process, right? So when I got the feedback, I need to change this, and I think about it now, I assume that that my leader knew what they were talking about, and it created, at least for me, I felt like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I felt mm-hmm. that all these late hours and time that I was spending away from the things that matter the most, I wasted. So for me, how would you coach me in that perspective on how I can go in? Because I don't feel that was actionable. I feel that it was emotional now later on.
Yes.
But I also feel like the leader didn't have the full story. And at the time, my younger self, I was more of, wow, I got to go and change this whole thing. And I didn't do the right work, right? Or I didn't bring the right people along and things like that.
So to clarify, the leader who gave you this feedback, they were saying, you know, you're missing big parts of what you were supposed to do. But in reality, were they missing the expectations of another leader?
Yes. And what I feel is that the leader at the time didn't have the full picture. So they only saw one piece of the puzzle, and instead of this leader looking back and so I can't do anything about what they did, but what I'm looking for is coaching about what I could have done. And when I received that type of feedback, that was emotionally stressful. I'm already working so many hours and I'm stressed, and now I'm feeling like a failure, right? So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say in that situation, one, I would follow up with questions. Like if somebody is coming at you with emotional feedback and they're just saying, basically saying everything you're doing is wrong, you miss this, you miss that, ask specific questions. So start with, thank you for letting me know. Can you give me an example of like what is the biggest mistake that you've identified? So I can pinpoint that and address that first. And just maybe start with one. Like if someone's throwing a bunch at you at once, take a breath and just ask, hey, can you please help me identify that where you think I should start, and make it a win-win, right? Because if it's already emotional, then I would say I'm asking so that I can save both of us time. I'm asking so we can hit this deadline even faster. And if you make it more conversational, right, hopefully that leader will have an inward moment and be like, oh, wow, the way I just yelled at that person was kind of selfish. And I was just thinking about how frustrated I am. So give yourself a chance to kind of redirect the tone. That's awful. Like, no one wants to receive feedback that way.
Yeah. Thank you. And that's a perfect example, right? Now, that was an extreme and true, but extreme. And I'm sure there's people that happens to every day. And I love what you said, because I think the important thing and what I would have done differently is exactly what you said. Just ask the questions, but also think about, is this a relationship that I'm invested in and I want to ensure that that there's no additional mistrust, that the trust doesn't erode, right? And if there's any confusion, ask the questions so that we can really get to a point where there's clarity, because obviously there was a disconnect in the feedback. Number one, the way the feedback was given. Number two, a disconnect on the feedback. The person didn't have the full story. But I go back now, years later, to thinking, is this a relationship that I want to continue to invest in? The answer, honestly, when I look back, yes. It was somebody that I trusted. It was somebody, a leader that I admire. But of course, the way that it was given, it was wrong. So I felt that I also, now looking back, I have a responsibility to think, okay, how am I going to react to this feedback? And how I react to this feedback is going to make a difference on how we continue to have this relationship, right? At the time, I didn't react the right way, but I've grown from that.
Well, I think it's also hard to think about all of that in the moment too. In the moment, you're just thinking, dang, what do I need to do to get through this project?
Yes.
And what can I do to succeed? Like, and I think,
let's keep it real.
And I'm asking, let's keep it real, first of all. And also in the moment, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but maybe I'm guessing you're saying in the moment you didn't realize that piece of context was missing, right? You didn't realize that you were being delivered, right? You couldn't have known that. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's ask the questions to get clarity so you can kind of measure for yourself, like going back to growth. That's why we're talking about feedback. It's for all of us to grow. You want to ask the clarifying questions so you can have a very specific starting point and say, okay, this is what's going to like make all the other dominoes fall. And you can see where you go from there. That's a really good question though. It's like, what do you do when you get feedback from somebody that's like really emotionally charged?
Yeah. And I love that, you know, you talked about ask the clarifying questions. And I think it goes back to the framework that I created a long time ago I like to call REACH. And the R stands for receive with openness. And one of the things is ask clarifying questions. Because at the moment, it may come with their emotions, but I have all the power in the world on how I receive it and how I control my emotional intelligence, right? So I love that because that's exactly what it starts with, is R for receive with openness and asking questions. That's how you receive it, with openness. And then E is evaluate the validity, which in this case, that's something that I didn't know. And I guess maybe that's why I created this framework. So is it credible? Is it consistent? Is this was a behavior that I wasn't used to, right? This wasn't a feedback that I wasn't used to. And then the A is, you know, apply the constructive feedback. So create an action plan, test it, adjust. And the final one is C, which is check for understanding, right? Which I think is well, actually, I forgot the age. The age was, honor the process. So, for example, in this case, in that example, I should have asked the questions, like you said, 100%. I should have definitely been able to learn from it and then come back with a plan. Okay, what own the plan too, right? Because it's for my development.
Yeah.
Because this is, I think, the way people think sometimes. People think it's like, oh, I'm not, you know, that's my leader's problem or the person that gave me the feedback. No, I want to own my development. I want to grow. So I think I should have came back with a plan or put a plan together, even if it's for me. How do I make sure this doesn't happen again? How do I make sure that my leader has the information that they need to provide the right feedback, constructive feedback that's going to give me growth? I would have loved for the leader to give me feedback at the end of the process or even throughout to say, hey, these areas you're not doing so well. These areas, you're okay. Or maybe you need to improve in this whole other point. But I couldn't get that because, one, I didn't receive it with openness, to be completely kind and honest. And the other piece is I was just like, whatever, this person's just going crazy. How do I get out of here? Right. I think it comes with growth, but if you remember anything and what I for the audience and when I created Reach, it was all about just thinking, okay, how do I make it easy for me to remember? Receive with openness, evaluate validity, apply constructively, check for understanding, and honor the process with a follow-up. So that's kind of what I use. I don't know if you know what your thoughts are or if you have any other advice for the listeners when receiving the feedback.
I think, and this is something I wish someone told me in my early career, going back to the story you shared, you received very emotionally charged feedback, and in hindsight, you're like, that wasn't super helpful, and the thing they told me to do, I actually didn't need to do that. I think especially to those of you listening, if you're in your early career, it can feel really intimidating to kind of challenge that, and you just kind of take what you hear and just assume it's right. But if your early career or even later on, before thinking about how can I make this actionable, I would encourage you to take a pause and assess if it's necessary and if it's worth your time and if that's really, like, do you need to spend time making a plan to make it actionable first?
That's right.
And then
that's good.
Go through the reach.
Yeah, because I think it's really important to know, and I love that you brought it up, that not all feedback is you should take action on, and not all feedback is true, and not all feedback is feedback that you should say, hey, I need to grow from this. So I think that's being able to discern that it's important. Yeah. Because you could be chasing something that you don't have to change, right? So being able to understand that, recognizing valid feedback is important.
I could not agree more. That's so well said. It's what feedback is actually important to implement. Because let's take a moment to speak to the people who might be in our shoes, who live in spaces where feedback is a lot. And discerning where does my attention go, what feedback takes priority, what's actually going to help me get to the next thing. I could have 5 incredible mentors, for example, and I value what they all say. But there's only so many hours in a day, and I only have one brain. Like, I can't process and make an action plan for it all at once.
And Rukmini, if you remember from her episode, this is something that she talked about in great length. Let's hear how she put it.
There's a very important distinction between feedback that's helped to make you grow and sometimes feedback that's helped to put you in your place. It's really important to be able to, like, break that rule and be like, not all feedback is great for you. So take what makes you feel grow as a human, as a leader, and leave the other behind. When I get feedback about how brown and loud and proud I am, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that feedback. So I'm just going to park.
That brings me back to moments where people have given me feedback with so much bias. It's like if you actually considered my career trajectory, my strengths, my weaknesses, my intentions, my purpose, and who I am as a person, you would realize how freaking selfish that feedback was. And you're also speaking from like a what is it, like a one-track mind. Like you're not seeing the whole picture. Clearly it brought me back to a moment that just like didn't go well with me. What was your question?
To watch what do you out do for when that you bias? Receive? And I don't know if you want to share some of it, you know, but if you feel comfortable for our listeners and everybody to hear.
Watch out for the bias. Well, first, how about you explain for those listening who may not understand what you mean by bias feedback? Explain what that means, and then I'll give an example.
Yep. No, absolutely. So when we talk about bias feedback, is sometimes the feedback that you're receiving comes directly from a person, from the other person's experience, rather than a true reflection of your abilities or even their thoughts about what, let's just say, leadership should look like, what communication should look like, what something as simple as a corporate dress code should look like, or how you speak or how you present. And a lot of one of the things that we find and we recognize for multicultural women is that they get, and we talked about this before from, I think it was the McKenzie perspective, where the women get the double negative, right? There's stereotypes and biases because you're a woman that you can't do A, B, C, and D, or you are A, B, C, and D. And when it's a multicultural woman, there's another bias that you can do or not do something, right? So in this example, when we talk about bias, is somebody assuming or in their mind, they have made up that you can or cannot do something because you're a multicultural woman.
So what makes me sad about this is it was another woman of color who delivered the feedback. Mm. And I was early career figuring out if I wanted to go like consulting business track, if I wanted to focus more on like executive coaching and seeing what I could do. Because for me at the time, and I mean today, but definitely at the time, even though it was a big transition, I was like, I can do this. I can see myself doing lots of things and being good at it. Someone actually introduced me to this person, and it was really heartbreaking because I went into that conversation super excited, heard positive reviews of this person, thought, hey, if this conversation goes well, I'd be so open to a mentorship. And this woman in the conversation, I asked for her advice in terms of the best next steps to take if I wanted to be on X track. Yes. And she gets on the call with me, and her feedback on, because I sent her a portfolio, I sent her a resume and just like my professional background. And she goes, you're not going to be good at this.
Gosh.
And I was like, okay. Like that, it wasn't even, she didn't even ask that many questions leading into it. Just was like, hey, so I look at what you sent me. You're not going to be good at this.
Mm.
Okay, do you want to say more? Almost wish I didn't ask that question because it got worse.
Oh my God.
And then she goes through a list and marks me down. For this, point number one, this is going to deduct you. Point number two, no one's going to look at you for this reason. Point number three, you've done this for 2 years. It's going to take you six times longer to do that. Like just going in on like ripping every part of me and my past apart.
Wow.
At the time, you know, I was crushed. And I realized, the last thing I'll say, what I realized, and as I got to know her and her story more, and she actually said it at the end of the conversation, she goes, well, when I was in your shoes, I didn't get this sort of support. Or when I was in your shoes, we didn't have X, Y, and Z. And so it was so biased. It was based on her experience. Just because she had it one way, her perspective was, you won't either. And not even that you won't, but you can't. I was like...
And this is so important because as a leader, yes, this is so important. And thank you for sharing it. Thank you for sharing, because I know you were...
You can tell I'm not fully over it.
I know. We need a
shout out to the listeners when you're
for healings.
We do. We really do. I just want to also give a shout out to anyone listening. This is who is a person who gives feedback. Just know that your words have an impact and they will last. Because this was like 8 years ago. And clearly it's stuck with me for quite some time. So just know that if someone's coming to you and asking for your advice and asking for direction, it's because they respect what you have to say. So honor that and lead with respect and lead with kindness. Don't just rip someone apart and say, good luck.
And I love that you're saying that, because if you are a person that is giving feedback, you may not even be a leader. You just be a friend or somebody.
Yeah.
Put it this way. If somebody took the time to come to you and ask you for feedback, it's because they feel that it's important coming from you. They value something about you. They're looking. Yeah. They see something in you that they respect, value, and they want to hear from you. And your feedback can absolutely crush their career, their dreams, their expectations. Like, you could go into, this could be something you worked your whole, you were all hyped, you worked your whole life around it. And I'm not saying don't say the truth. What I'm saying is, what are some of the, so if this is your dream, Courtney, I'm always on the end of, how can I help your dream come true? You know, okay, you may not have the skills right now, but let me tell you how you could get them. Let me connect you to my network. Let me connect you to some great mentors in this area. Look for ways to be open and help somebody, because you have an impact on somebody's career. You have an impact on somebody's mental health and emotional health. You have an impact in
You literally took so the much. Words out of my mouth. I was going to say, you have an impact on well-being.
Yes.
Feedback has impact on someone's well-being.
It is so important.
And I think everybody really needs to let that sink in. It's if you think about it, it's with a 10-minute conversation or even a 5-minute conversation or one sentence, it can completely change someone's perspective and their trajectory. It could be the difference between, I was going to take that job interview and now I'm not. I was going to take that promotion and now I'm not. I was going to walk into that boardroom with confidence to present my research, and now I feel like everything I worked for the past 6 months is wrong.
You know,
I think we really need to lead with mindfulness. So much mindfulness.
So much. And you said, let that sink in. And I wanted to say a moment of silence for all the dreams that were crushed because of the feedback that somebody gave. And that is deep. Yeah. That is so deep. There are so many people out there that unfortunately continue to either not get the feedback to grow or get feedback that is hurtful. Truthful feedback is done the right way is 200% needed. And I think people need to be more open with it. And they will realize how many more people actually want to hear it. But feedback to say that, like the feedback they gave you, that you weren't meant for that, that that was not you, that you weren't going to be successful, that's harsh. That, how can anyone even know that unless they were, you know, a prophet, right? But it's like, how do you even know that? And look at you, successful, right? So I want to make sure that both leaders, and if you're a multicultural woman, let's make sure that you are owning, as yourself, owning that giving feedback It is precious. It is critical for somebody's success. And it can either, it has fuel, and the fuel could be, you know, deadly, or it could be, wow, just exactly mm-hmm. what they needed to get to that next level. But fear not, right? Yeah. Because the good news is, if you're a leader of multicultural women, or if you're a multicultural woman, we are going to be having a What Rules Leadership Conference next year, 2025, in October, where we will get into a lot of this and really talk about how we can do leadership different, how we can come together and really build bridges to help realize what are some of those things, some of those biases, some of those blind spots that we have as leaders, and that is holding us back from really helping others achieve their potential, but also for us to achieve their potential. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we prepare leaders for what is here now and is here to stay, and that's multicultural America. So if you as an organization is looking to future-proof your organization, you want your leaders to be there, because multicultural America is here and it's the future. And we are here to help support leaders and multicultural women succeed in multicultural America. Any thoughts? And Courtney, any last closing thoughts that you would like to tell our listeners?
Reminder first, for those who are giving feedback, to also balance it out with positivity.
Yes.
And it can be really simple. Really simple. Thank you for your hard work. Even a thank you and acknowledging something good that they did. That's affirmation. That's feedback. That's saying, hey, I am doing hard work. You're right. Let me keep doing that hard work. And it doesn't have to be really, really deep. I know that we went there today, but it doesn't always have to be that. And you can keep it simple, right? Feedback can be simple, and it can be positive, and just make sure if you're giving constructive criticism to balance it out with the good as well, because your words have impact.
Want more advice on how to break the rules and outsmart the game to advance your career? Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and our website, whatrulespodcast.com. For more insight from our guests and hosts, and join our community on LinkedIn, where we discuss rule-breaking strategies for multicultural women. What Rules is a project of Zara Consulting and is supported by the amazing team at Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta, with editing and music supervision by Joshua Ramsey, and was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant. Our podcast cover was designed by Deleon Creative. Visit whatrulespodcast.com for more info, upcoming events, and all episodes of What Rules, including video, and make sure to give us a follow.